Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, we'll be reading verse 38 down to verse 44. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 38. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 38, the Bible says, "And he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, again, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity that we, each one that's here, had to be in church today. Thank you for already meeting with us and for, Lord, just your presence in this place. Thank you for the song service and how we've been ministered to. But now, Father, as we look into the holy, precious Word of God, that which you have preserved for us so that we might know the very mind of a Creator God, I pray that you'd help us to receive from the preaching of thy word exactly what you have for us. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This recording of the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law presents several truths concerning what Christ's coming would bring to mankind. He would preach the kingdom of God. He reveals that in verse 43. That's what he had been doing, and that's what he would continue to do. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. He had been going around and preaching the kingdom of God. That means he would make known to man the ways of God. Preaching the kingdom of God, or preaching the ways of God in every area. And so that's what he was doing in all the synagogues. And so as we looked at this morning, what would Christ's coming bring to us? What would his coming bring to us? And the first thing that we find as the Christ, and he is revealed as the Christ, and he was presenting himself, but also even the devils that came out of the demon-possessed, they said in verse 41, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. For they knew who he was. The scriptures revealed to us that he was the only begotten Son of God. He was the Christ of the Old Testament. And so as the Christ, he would bring the most important thing, and that is salvation. He would bring salvation to humanity. In verse 38, the Bible says, and he arose out of the synagogues. And that's what he would do. He would go into the synagogues, and the synagogues would be as church. And he and his disciples would attend the synagogues. He would attend the services on a regular basis. And every born-again believer today in this New Testament church age, if you're truly saved and being led by the Spirit of God, as what we ought to be led by the Spirit of God, going to church is just an automatic thing. That is something that we find a great help in, and that's why we assemble ourselves together, and that's why we have the promise that He is in this place with us. And he knows exactly what kind of needs we have. And we come to church, and we come to the right church. We come to a biblical church, and you'll find the encouragement that God has for you. You'll find the help in the song services, and we're able to sing those hymns and those songs, the message of songs as we praise the Lord, and then be ministered to as we have those who have prepared to stand before us and sing those songs that have messages that will encourage our hearts. And then as we come together as we have right now, and we all have the Bible, God's holy word in front of us, and there's a minister, there's a pastor standing up, and he preaches the word of God. That is God's design. And so we find here that Jesus was presenting some of these things. He was presenting the God's plan for this New Testament church age. He had just left the synagogue, as he had been doing, and that's what he was accustomed to doing in every city, is going in there where they were having church, and he was giving them insight into who he was, giving them insight into the fulfillment of the Old Testament laws and the prophets, and establishing this New Testament church age, this New Testament Christianity. The Bible says that he came in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, he came with the message of salvation when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The very first thing that we find that Jesus would preach is that humanity, mankind, is a sinner, and they need to repent of that sin. For this is the ways of God. The kingdom of heaven is here, and we must confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ. We must see ourselves as in need of a Savior, as lost and needing to be saved and forgiven of our sins. Jesus Christ, that sacrificial lamb, came to pay the sin debt of all humanity, a sin debt that we owe and couldn't pay. He came to pay that sin debt. And so he says to humanity, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Luke in chapter 19 and verse 10, he says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So his coming brought to us this idea of being saved, this idea of being forgiven of our sins, cleansed, to restore in a relationship to an almighty heavenly Father. We find that they had already heard the preaching of John the Baptist. If you look over to John in chapter 1, the preaching of John the Baptist was to help us to understand he came first and foremost to bring to the world salvation, a chance to be reconciled to an almighty God, forgiven and cleansed of their sin. John would say, or John the Baptist would say, as it's been recorded by John the Apostle in John chapter 1 and verse 25, "And they asked him," John the Baptist, "and he said unto him, Why baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ?" He did not claim to be the Christ. He claimed to be the forerunner of the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you." He's already here. "There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so there's no doubt we find that as John presented Jesus Christ before Jesus started his public ministry and he started preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he would go into all the synagogues in every city and he would present to them that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that he was the Christ. And he brought to them this hope of everlasting eternal life. He would even say, as John records in John chapter 14 and verse 6, a very well-known passage of Scripture that helps us to see this. He says, "I am the way, the way, the truth, and the life." And this he says, no man, no matter how religious they are, no matter how sincere they are, no matter how much money they give, no matter what kind of works they look to, no man cometh unto the Father which is in heaven. Amen? We pray to our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer and how to communicate with God the Father through Him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wow. So in this healing of Peter's mother-in-law, it first of all presents to us that Jesus is the Christ. And as the Christ, He brings to humanity salvation. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I tell you, no man is going to make it to heaven unless they do this. So wherever you're at in your walk, and wherever you're at in your religion, wherever you're at in your frame of mind, if you want to go to heaven, then you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I trust that if you haven't done that, you'll do that today. So His coming brings to us salvation. He would bring not only salvation, but He would bring the power of God to man. He's preaching the kingdom of God, or He's making known the ways of God to man. And the ways of God in this New Testament church age is that He brings to us the very power of God. If you look in chapter 4, go back to our text here. In verse 38, there rose from the synagogue and into Simon's house. This was Simon Peter. And Simon's wife, means that yes, Simon was married. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. A great fever. Now this is recorded, this is what the Luke records. And Luke was the physician, amen? He understood what kind of condition this woman was in. And he presents to us that she was, if you will, on her deathbed. She had this great fever. And they, the apostles, Peter and the rest of them, besought Him, Jesus, for her. And He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So He would bring, and He's making known, the power of God to man. God would have a miracle for Peter's mother-in-law and many others. If you have the power of God, you can move mountains. If you have the power of God, you can do all things. Whatever God wants you to do, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you, because He has and He brings to us the very power of a Creator God. Stop and think about that. Through Jesus Christ, you have the power of God to do God's will. Yeah. Luke revealed that she was going to die, that she had this great fever. She could not get out of bed. She could not. They could not bring healing to her. And they besought Him. If you're the Christ, if you were there in creation, then you have the power of God. And we're asking you for a miracle for Peter's mother-in-law. And He rebuked the fever. Now, I like that idea. He rebuked the fever, which reveals to us that this was brought on by an evil spirit. Not all illness is brought on by evil spirits, but I guarantee you, Satan can afflict the flesh. And He rebuked this spirit. He rebuked this fever brought on by this evil spirit. And it left her. And immediately, the miracle was immediate. On her deathbed, a miracle was performed, and she gets right out of bed. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Not only her, but if you look down to verse 40, and now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them. He laid his hand on every one of them because he wanted all people to know that if you trust in me, if you receive me as your personal Lord and Savior, not only do I bring to you salvation, but I bring to you the power of God. And if you trust in me, and if you ask me, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is believe in me, and I will answer your prayer. Now, it might not always be answered the way that you want it to be answered, but can I tell you, we have the promise of God that he will answer your prayer. Amen. He might not have a miracle of healing for somebody that you pray for. But as he answers that prayer, he'll give you the grace to be able to handle whatever takes place. Because he has the power. And he brings to us the power to do all things. The thing we find here is he did not do that until they besought him to do that. He did not heal the rest of them until they brought them to him and asked him. Can I tell you, you'll never have that miracle and you'll never experience that power of God unless you ask. Luke in chapter 11, just a few pages over, we find this is what he tells them. This is what he teaches them. In Luke in chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. He says unto them, ask. Or he says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. I mean, I will answer. Seek, and ye shall find. He's a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek him, but you're seeking his will and not your will. You're seeking what he wants to reveal to you, not what you want him to reveal to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What a powerful message. His coming presents to us that through him we have the power of God made available to us through prayer. Philippians in chapter 4, as Paul would write in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, a very powerful passage of scripture here in Philippians in chapter 4. Paul says to the church, be careful for nothing. If you will interpret it, stop worrying. Stop being so focused on things that you have no control over and letting that which you can't control, control you. Stop it. Amen. Did you hear that? There's someone here that's doing that. You continue to live your life that way, and you're not receiving the power of God because you have just filled your heart and your mind with worry. Be careful for nothing. Stop it. And this is what you replace it with. But in everything, by prayer, through prayer, you have the power of God available to you. Amen. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, be thankful for the will of God and the answer. No, even if it's not the way that you want it to be answered, when you have peace about this is how God is going to answer this, give him praise, give him thanks. Yeah. For his ways are so much higher than our ways. And his love is so much greater than our love. Yeah. And his will is not to give us a miracle of healing, it's because his plan is different than that. And his plan is even better than healing. Yeah. Stop worrying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, not demands. Can I tell you, you have no right to demand anything from God. You can't demand to be saved. You don't deserve to be saved. You didn't deserve God to send His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross. You didn't deserve Jesus Christ to suffer and bleed and die. No, He did that out of love for you. Even though we're so unworthy. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I don't deserve, and I do not, I should never expect to be able to demand God to do anything. Let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do it that way, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. He has a way to heal a broken heart. He has a way to heal sorrow. He has a way to help you to deal with some of the worst things that humanity could ever have to deal with. He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ, because His coming not only brings us salvation, it brings to us the power of God. Wow. Can I tell you there is peace in just knowing we have God to turn to? We have peace to know that God might not answer it the exact way that you want it answered, but however He answers it, He gives you peace about His answer. It is the best thing that could happen in that particular situation. Concerning what God's plan is, not only for the right now, for here and the now, but for eternity. That child that you might pray that God would spare, if He did, you never know what could have happened. But He says, if I take him on to glory, if I take her on to glory, she is in heaven. She'll never have to go through what she might have to have gone through otherwise. Listen, I don't know the future. I don't know what would take place if God answered all of our prayers the way we wanted them to be answered. There might be more heartache in the future. There might be more things happen because of that we can't handle. And God says, I'll not put more on you than what you're able to bear. But when you leave it to me, you pray, I'll answer it. And I answer it in a way that's going to be better than any way you could design. That's the promise of God. Is He able to do all things? Did He not create all things? He brings the power of an almighty creator God to us. Jesus Christ, through salvation and through His presence, we have access to God the Father. We have an intercessor, and we have the privilege to be able to get a hold of Him whenever we have a need, whenever we have a desire, and we can pray to a God who can do all things. There's peace in just knowing who God is and that I have a petition with Him through Jesus Christ. Can I tell you also, Peter was learning this to prepare him to write what God would have him to write as one of the writers of the New Testament scriptures. Because after this experience, Peter would write 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 when he would write this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Whatever his answer is, it's out of a love and care. And when you accept that, it'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. We get to live our life knowing that I'm saved because Christ brought to me salvation. We get to live the rest of our Christian life knowing that I have the power of God available to me through prayer in Christ Jesus. It gives us one more thing. If you go back to our text here, one more thing. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And they were amazed. They seen now the power of God, and she was healed. And as soon as she was healed of this fever, given this miracle, immediately she arose and ministered unto them. He would bring purpose for living life. Do you understand that the suicide rate is at an all-time high in the world that we live in today? Because humanity is seeking that which only God offers, and anything but God. And when they realize they're blinded to it and they can't find it, they give up on life. Satan's goal, if he can't keep you lost and on your way to a devil's hell, then his next goal is to get you to take your own life. He can't do it. But he can blind you to the person of God, and the power of God, and to a purpose for life, to the place where you can take your own life. He would bring to us purpose for living life. Her gratitude, Peter's wife's mother, her gratitude for what Christ had done for her was seen in her desire to serve Christ and others who were serving him. I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I mean, I've given my life to it, but I love serving God. Amen. In Sunday school this morning, I just went over with the class some of the responsibilities, some of the things that New Testament churches require and need out of the pastors that God has called and planted there, and there's so much there. It's just, but as I go over that, I'm thinking, wow, I didn't even realize myself how much stress was on all that. But you know what? I love it. After being in the ministry for 37 years, I love that aspect of it. Helping people. Serving, first of all, Christ. I feel so privileged and honored to have a position that God's established and called me to and allows me to serve him in the position of a pastor. And then I love the idea of serving others who are serving him. Helping those that are looking to Christ, that's one of the things that I'll do anything and everything I can for somebody that is looking to Jesus Christ and to serve him. I want to help them as a church. That's why we have our conferences. That's why we go all out to help other churches and other women, as we have ladies' conferences and men's conferences, and we have bus ministries, and we have all kinds of children ministry, all kinds of outreach ministries, because we want to serve him by reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then those that want to serve him, we are wanting to do everything we can to encourage them to continue to serve him as well. And as you're living that kind of life, that will always be a need. And can I tell you, if you're looking for the peace and the joy, if you're looking for the fruit of the Spirit, you want to experience, you have it within you. You have, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you have this kind of fruit available, love, peace, joy, long, all the different fruit of the Spirit, it's all come together. You experience that when you serve him. And when you serve others who are serving him. Looking for something more out of life? Look to what Christ brings. Because it's a purpose. And it will always be a purpose. You say, I'm not in the ministry. Are you saved? You're to be a Christian. Christ-like. You see, when I wake up in the morning, I acknowledge the fact I'm serving my God. As I go through the day, every day, I acknowledge the fact that I'm serving my God. When I pillow my head at night before I go to bed, I realize I've had the opportunity to serve my God today. And that is repeated every day of my life. That can be repeated every day of your life. You might not be in a pastor's position, but you're in a Christian position. And this world needs genuine Christianity. This world needs the light. This world needs that salt. And if you're saved, that's what God wants you to be. When you wake up every morning, it's an opportunity to serve Christ and to possibly serve someone that is serving Christ. Be an encourager at your place of employment. Go into your place of employment looking to represent Christ, being encouraged. Listen to me, it will give you purpose beyond what you're able to do as an employee, but now you can do it as a Christian, and you'll accomplish. And there, can I tell you, there's going to be something will change in your heart, in your mind, because now you'll have that peace of God and the joy of the Lord. It's more blessed to give. There's more blessings associated with me giving than me being on the receiving end. As a Christian, this world needs every one of us to be on the serving end, to giving a testimony for Christ. In closing this morning, I love this. This was Paul's testimony in Philippians in chapter 3, and we'll close with this. I believe this is something Paul had on his mind every day of his life. And God allowed him to put it down so that we might have it as being God's word to us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is the most important thing that I do, is what he's saying here. No matter what else is going on in my life, this is the most important thing that I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't do anything about the past. Can't change anything. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward being all that I can be in serving Christ and serving others who serve Christ. And you'll find a peace that passeth all understanding. You'll find what most of the lost world's looking for, a purpose for their lives. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. If only we would live with that kind of a purpose. Christ brings it to us. He brings to us, first of all, the opportunity to have salvation, everlasting eternal life. He brings to us this power of God, making it available to every born-again believer through Christ in a simple way of just asking prayer. And with that, it gives us a purpose. Where are you at this morning? Do you have all those things? If not, you can start by coming to this altar and letting somebody take a Bible and sharing with you, not what this church says, but what the Bible says, what God Almighty says you must do in order to have salvation. Plain and simple. You need to be saved. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for this passage of scripture of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law and how that we see so much from this and what you bring to us in preaching the kingdom of God. And I pray, God, that we would receive this today. There's some here that need to be saved. I pray, God, that they would not walk out of this auditorium without knowing that they're saved and on their way to heaven. There's others here, God, that need to be a little bit more committed and take advantage of that prayer life that they could have in Christ, and then the purpose that you have for us. Pray that you would just work now in our hearts and our lives. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.